people of Britain, no, we were not dreaming. It really happened. Tanned ankles, relaxed gums. England won 5-1. Some may accuse me of jumping on the sports bandwagon, but I speak as a lifelong football fan when I say that this was one of the finest innings our boys have ever pitched. To beat the Swiss at all was remarkable, but to do it by four rubbers and in Monaco beggared belief. I could scarcely contain myself from leaping up and crying, Yahtzee! Try after try hit the back of the basket. And what a display by Owen. I always felt David Owen could be a great footballer. He represents a new generation whose achievements could eclipse even 1066. So let's all get out there and play golf.
Ringers.
Good morning. Welcome to Today with me, John Humphreys.
And me, Sue McGregor. Coming up in the next few minutes, a weather forecast that is both thorough and meteorologically accurate, but gives you absolutely no idea whether or not to take your brolly to work.
But first, the publishing world has been rocked by revelations that novelist Faye Weldon has a sponsorship deal with a jewellery firm. We're joined to discuss this by the novelist Will Self.
Black. All is black except that that is grey. The author quivers in anticipation as the capitalist kraken awakes and devours the prancing aborted fetus that is creativity. As consumerism ejaculates its poisonous sack into the acquiescent talent suckling at its teat, everything was black. But then I rang Claims Direct and they sorted everything out.
Oh, no, Sue, they've got a hymn too, and this is just the start. Look at tonight's book at bedtime. Martin Jarvis reads Harry Potter and the Cauldron of Pot Noodles.
Yes, you're right, John, it breaks your heart. Speaking of breaks, John, when I have a break, I always have a Kit Kat.
Oh, Sue, no, they've got to you as well. Well, at least there's one man of integrity who'd never sully his reputation with gratuitous product plugs. Here's Thought for the Day with Rabbi Lionel Blue.
Good morning, Sue. Good morning, John. And good morning to the Coca-Cola Corporation of North America.
All White Hart Lane is tonight hailing Sven-Göran, in fact, Eriksson, as England's football saviour. Sven, let's take ourselves back to Munich last Saturday night. An astounding victory against the Germans.
Yes, John, it was undoubtedly not the worst evening I have ever experienced as I trudge wearily across this mortal coil.
Yes, but as clearly satisfying as that win was for you, Sven, tonight's hard-fought victory against the plucky Albanian 11 has, of course, lifted us to the top of Group 5. That must have left you cock-a-hoop with joy.
I allowed myself the merest flicker of a smile whilst ritually flogging myself with birch after the game. In equal measures pleasure, in equal measure pain. The darkness comes, it comes.
But surely, Sven, you'll be celebrating a bit tonight, won't you?
No. 2 weeks ago, I had a thimbleful of Swedish vodka and some cold meats. That was enough. And where will it end, this thing we call life?
Sven-Göran Eriksson there, speaking for the whole nation tonight with his clearly unbridled joy at events of the past week.
Hello, I'm Melvin Bragg. You're thinking, is he or isn't he? Well, yes, I am wearing Harmony Hairspray. This week we're having a well-wicked and youthful edition of In Our Time. Joining me are the writer, critic and reggae star, Shaggy.
You're a queen and that's how you should be treated. My pants are immaculately pleated.
Thought-provoking words, Shaggy. Also with me today is the writer, critic, broadcaster and rep bad boy, Eminem.
Dear Mel, I go to hell and yell and tell the world my diamond in our time. Or take part in Start the Week, should you be on that? Not Paxman, he's Laxman. I'd be the Taxman, the Axeman. Put him in the sax, man. Throw him in the harbor, Mel. Go see a barber. You're hairy, scary, ain't you a fairy? Get a trim. You're slim.
Now, I'd like you to expand on that point a little later. But for this youth-driven edition, the obvious first question is, what impact has 18th-century humanism, and specifically the writings of John Stuart Mill, had on contemporary culture? Shaggy?
She got me. Mr. Bombastic, me panzer elastic, I'd say the impact has been, drastic.
Hard to contradict that. Eminem?
What, Stuart John Mill? He's worth nil. Ain't no thrill like a philosophical Jimmy Hill.
Well, that's all for today. Next week, Professor Richard Dawkins and Tom Paulin will be arguing that just because she dances disco, that don't make her a... Oh, no.
Hello and welcome to Film 2001 with me, Jonathan Wass, Lawrence Llewellyn Bowen with irony. After the release of Final Fantasy, in which several computer-generated cartoons were used in place of actors, distinguished acting stars are fighting back by hijacking roles in cartoons. Wassel Quo leads the way.
So it was Mr. Johnson who's been dressing up as a ghost in the abandoned fairground, right, Shaggy?
My name is Maximus Decimus Shagginus. Owner of a cowardly dog. Friend to a suspiciously gay-looking man. And I would have had my vengeance, but I was, like, really scared. Zoinks!
So he was trying to keep the hidden gold mine secret.
This, like, calls for Scooby snacks. Scooby, at my signal. Unleash your tongue and wrap it round a very tall sandwich.
Other parts are also taken by actors. In his final appearance, Sir John Gielgud plays a pivotal role.
And we would never have known if old Scooby hadn't stumbled into Mr. Johnson's secret lair.
Scooby, Scooby Dooby. Scooby Dooby Dooby. Raggy.
Welcome back to your Newsnight. I'm Kirsty Wark. Carol Smiley with a university education and no fake tan. I'm joined now by the Tory leadership frontrunner, Ian Duncan Smith. Mr. Duncan Smith, what do you say to accusations that by choosing you, the Tories simply haven't accepted the fact it has to change?
Well, no, on the contrary, Kirsty, we've learned the lessons from our election drubbing, as I was just saying the other day, to Fionn.
Sorry, to who?
To my good lady wife, that we need to appeal not only to the grassroots of the Tory faithful, but also appeal to the wider electorate of the Conservative Party, so that we may be elected.
Mr. Duncan Smith, can I just point out that your voice is going all northern and unelectable?
No. No, not at all. That's quite wrong. We in this Conservative Party know that I, William Hague, will be the next Prime Minister. The potion is wearing off.
Mr. Duncan Smith, why have you suddenly dropped behind that sofa here in the Newsnight studio?
I've just dropped my contact lenses, Kirsty. And I am not downing a potion that I've invented that makes me look slightly different and sound a little bit posher, just so that I, William Hague, can regain control of my Conservative Party.
Mr. Hague, it is you.
That is absolute nonsense. I am Ian Duncan Smith, very much my own man, looking to a bright future with renewed vigour and the same old tired policies that held us in such good sway at the last election for this my Conservative Party.
Well, that certainly explains a few things. Hang on, now I come to think of it, I've never actually seen Jeremy Paxman and Jeremy Vine in the same room together. But it isn't a thought I like to dwell on. Good night.
BBC Radio 4, I'm Charlotte Green. Is that the shipping forecast in your pocket, or are you just pleased to see me? Mayor Ken Livingstone this week oversaw the first ever civil registration of a same-sex marriage and now plans to take his idea further.
Well, under my scheme, same-sex relationships now have identical status to heterosexual marriages. And I wanted to give these rights to another neglected area, same-person relationships. And I found the ideal candidate to be the first to benefit.
I have been deeply and profoundly in love with Brian Sewell for many, many years. But the state doesn't recognize this relationship purely because the person I happen to have fallen for is myself.
And it was an honor for me to conduct the first same-person civil ceremony for Brian. For you, Brian St. John Montgomery Archibald Gavin Saul, take yourself to be your lawful wedded husband. Do you promise to love the sound of your own voice and respect no other opinions but your own as long as you live?
I most indubitably do.
When you may kiss a copy of your Evening Standard column. Well, hurry it up, Brian. I've got David Starkey and Martin Jarvis to do before lunch.
After Phil Collins heard that Elton John was doing the music for non-Disney cartoons, he's hit back by releasing this, his new CD. Phil Collins sings those cartoons that Elton John hasn't got round to recording a song for yet. From The Haunting...
Tom and Jerry chase each other all day. Tom runs as fast as he's able. Tom ran into some furniture and swallowed it. Now he's the shape of a table.
To The Sublime.
Why was Rhubarb so badly drawn? He just wobbled all over the place. Did they run out of money at some stage? Or was the artist off his face?
And of course, this wonderful tribute to Dick Dastardly.
How can he just let the anthill mob get right past him on the bend? When Dick Dastardly's got a telescope arm with a chainsaw on the end. He's the only one who will let cheat it at all. So take a look at him now, where his car's been sawn in half. But he still finds time to punch his dog for doing that sniggering laugh. Take a look at him now.
Don't just sit there, Muttley, do something.
BBC Radio 4, I'm Brian Perkins. I'm the fire starter. Later, a new series, The Committee. Nick Ross chairs another dull-sounding discussion programme. I prefer it when he does Crime Watch. They had a picture of me on there once. The case was dropped. 2 minutes round the back of their Aladdin's cave with Ross and my blade sort of that. I showed him an entirely different sort of tip-off. No amount of Crime Watch reconstruction could get that back. Anyway, here's the Archers, where Clary has taken Eddie and Joe for a meal in the bull.
Oh, Eddie, stop eating like a pig.
I am not eating like a Ford Mondale.
How many times do I have to tell you about making gratuitous product placements with your mouth full? It's bad enough Faye Weldon doing it in her book. Now stop shoveling. You're eating like a Philips recordable CD player, isn't he, Joe?
I don't know Perrier water about helping computers. Well, you can go in Microsoft Windows yourself.
Booger King John Lewis Snickers, Eddie.
Special K, Eddie.
Oh, Bernard Matthew Turkey Burgers, everyone. Dyson vacuum cleaners, Pop-Tarts, honey nut cornflakes.
Oh, Nokia.
Janet Street Porter, and welcome to Celebrity Sleepover, the show that gets C-list celebrities to stay over with members of the general public while a D-list celebrity presents it. This week, our celebrity is Doctor Who. And by a strange twist of fate, we've placed him with the Dalek family, which has recently moved to Milton Keynes from Scarrow because of the more affordable house prices.
We were hoping for Keith Chegwin.
Day one starts badly, with the Doctor accusing the Daleks of being standoffish.
Well, I was up in my room all morning and not a single one of them came upstairs to see how I was settling in. And another thing, the room is most bizarre. You know, it's no bigger on the inside than it appears from the outside.
In an attempt to break the ice, the Daleks take the Doctor for a night out on the town. But it's not until the Daleks get really drunk that the Doctor seems to start enjoying himself.
Yes, 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 we had a superb time playing darts and duetting on the karaoke. And seeing the Daleks completely slaughtered brought back many happy memories for me. But when they insisted on going on afterwards and invading the Exelons and enslaving the people of the planet Spyridon, well, I just buggered off and went to bed.
Day two begins with the Daleks and the Doctor arguing.
It is true. A Time Lord is forbidden from interfering directly with the affairs of other life forms.
That's a likely excuse for refusing to do the washing up.
And matters aren't helped when it's revealed that the bin the Doctor put out for collection on the front lawn turned out to be the Daleks' youngest daughter. Anyway, join me next week when we see how the Israeli Prime Minister, Ariel Sharon, enjoys his sleepover with the Arafat family of the occupied West Bank.
BBC Radio 3. Can you hear the silence? This is Private Passions with me, Michael Barclay. And that was... Well, if I need to tell you, you don't deserve to know. Now, we've had an email from a listener, which after our producer transcribed it with a quill pen onto a sheet of freshly torn vellum sealed with wax, I was prepared to read. It says, Dear Michael, what is the wonderful bit of classical music on that new beer commercial? And could you play a bit of it for me? Yours, A.P. Horridge. Well, I don't know what it is, Mr. Horridge. You see, I've never seen a commercial. Perhaps instead you would have been more at home with Classic FM. You see, it's so accessible and undemanding. Oh, you'll love it. Concerto in D minor from a Renault Espace advert. I love Richard Clayderman themed weekends. And warm and matey Irish disc jockeys who can't pronounce Vorjak. So off you go, Mr. Horridge. And the rest of us will just sit quietly and eat a biscuit or two. And listen to 4 hours of gloriously eternal Schoenberg. BBC Radio 3. Don't go a-changing, baby.
Speed Skills Training?
Yes, hello, is that the Centre for Vocal Coaching?
Yes.
Oh, yes, hello, my name's Ian Duncan Smith. I was hoping to be elected shortly as leader of the Conservative Party. I wondered if some vocal coaching might be something both valuable and useful at this moment.
I'm not the gentleman to talk to.
Who is the gentleman to talk to?
Hugo Summerson.
I just felt that it would be a good idea, because if elected, I want to be a strong leader and send a clear message, and I just thought with some vocal coaching, I could be able to avoid any ambiguity of any kind whatsoever and maintain a clear distinction between myself and my predecessor. Are you all right, sir? Yeah, I just feel it's important because our party has an enormously strong heritage and I want to draw on that and be leader of a party that is proud of its heritage but seeks to apply all of these values into the modern world.
Hello?
Hello?
It's a very peculiar line, I must say.
Yes, you seem to be rather giddy, my friend. Is everything all right?
Just.
I'll just gauge your opinion. Some people say that I sound rather... too remote, too posh, a little too upper class, but...
Yeah, you probably need to get a bit more northern accent in there.
Do you think so?
Yeah.
Do you think so? Because I believe, frankly, to hypothesise that my demeanour is far too exclusive and too upper class, I believe that that would amount to unqualified balderdash, which I do not accept for a moment.
Excellent, excellent. I think that's probably about right, actually.
In listening to you, I've been thinking that perhaps it would be much better if I was to adopt a manner of speech which was a lot more street and much more wicked and much more level vibes going on, and maybe, you know, the voters and all them types of people could sort of, like, vibe with that, you know what I mean?
been there, actually. Who knows?
I do think it's very important to remember politics is a rough-and-tumble business and one has to remain calm at all times and never get angry like I did with Vivian and Neil and Mike. When they refuse to follow me, I become an anarchist. Ooh!
Excellent, sir. Excellent.
And finally, research carried out by an Australian university says that women are attracted to ugly men. Patrick Moore released this statement.
Yes, indeed. Many studies carried out by me during the hours of darkness in some of the finest nightclubs around the globe have proved this hypothesis to be true. Yes, they can't resist rubbing their hands up and down Patrick's crumpled jacket as I strut my funky stuff. Yes, being slightly weird-looking is no drawback to scoring with the ladies with the bootylicious bodies. In fact, when most of them go on a date with me, they end up staring at the sky at night for quite some considerable time. In fact, where I am, I can see several magnificent stars right now. No, not Ursa Major or the Perseids. It's Naomi Campbell, Kate Moss, Giselle and Caprice. And if you look just to the left, you might be able to pick out the heavenly body of Elle Macpherson in my jacuzzi. Hot mamas, each and every one of them. And, of course, none of these foxy babes naughty bits are able to be seen with the naked eye. Except, of course, by lucky old stud muffin Sir Patrick Moore. So, a very good night. Last one in the jacuzzi is a gaseous giant.
Hello, I'm Jenny Murray, half battle axe, half love machine. Welcome to Women's Hour. We've got the usual uneasy mix of earnest feminism and flirty giggling going on Woman's Hour today. I'll be talking to Germaine Greer for ages about equality, then undermining the whole thing at the end by going a bit girly.
And that is why our society is still fixated by gender, race and sexuality.
Germaine Greer, it's been fascinating and truly inspiring to talk to you. Although I'd rather you were George Clooney, Cor, what a dreamboat. But now Geraldine McEwan reads some god-awful tripe about suffragettes. That's all from me. I'm off to the school disco night at the Hippodrome. Feminists in pigtails, half priced.
Hello and welcome to the South Bank Show. Tonight, instead of looking at my unbelievable hair, we turn to the West End stage for a look at The Graduate, now starring Linda Gray, Sue Ellen from Dallas. And here's to you,
Mrs. Robinson. Oh, Benjamin, won't you unzip my dress?
Mrs. Robinson. You're trying to seduce me, aren't you? You've got me into your house. You give me a drink, you put on music, and then you tell me your husband won't be home for hours.
He... J.R.
Now, what the hell is going on here, Sue Ellen? You did it.
I can explain everything, J.R.
Now, you're damn right. You're going to explain, Sue Ellen. Now, who the hell is this?
I could explain, Mr. Robinson.
Robinson? Who the hell is Robinson? Is he running that rival oil firm?
J.R., listen to me. I'm leaving you. I'm leaving you for Benjamin.
Now, let me just get this straight. Now you're leaving me for this son of a gun who can't even talk properly. Hey, you see what I mean? Sounds like he's got something stuck right up his nose. I mean, who the hell has a voice as goddamn stupid as that?
And that's it from tonight's show.
Hello, I'm Matt Smith, eh? Crazy name, crazy guy. Welcome to Go For It. This is the show all about what us groovy people at Radio 4 think kids are into. Dadaism, the erotic poetry of Baudelaire, and yoga. Ace. Hang on. I think I hear a spacecraft landing.
Hello, everybody. I'm Cromarty, the Space Age Cat.
Yes, Cromarty is the character on this show that proves we here at Go For It have access to just as strong hallucinogenic drugs as you do. Only joking, I think. Cromarty doesn't look too happy. Are you angry at someone, Cromarty?
Yes, my agent. 3 years at RADA, and I end up doing this.
Oh, dear, Ace. All this week, there's been a UN conference against racism being held in South Africa. So guess what? That's where we sent our roving reporters. Ace. And whilst there, little Sally and Kevin discovered that the Zimbabwean Prime Minister, Robert Mugabe, doesn't like EastEnders, chips or being asked lots of silly questions by a couple of eight-year-old British school kids. So maybe next week you'd start a petition demanding their release from that Harare jail. Ace, who knows? It might be a job for Cromarty in his spaceship. See you next week on Go For It.
Can I open a pizza?
Hello, I wish to order a pizza from you, my friend.
Yes, telephone number?
How far do you deliver?
Where are you?
The Dagobah system.
Where?
The Dagobah system.
Dagobah system, what's that?
It is my home.
Where?
Not too far from Alderaan.
From where?
Alderaan.
Where is it? What's the postcode?
What mode of transport do you deliver by, sir?
We deliver by car.
By car?
Yeah, where are you, sir? What's the postcode?
Do you deliver by X-Wing antimatter craft?
Yes.
You do? Excellent. In that case, you can reach the Dagobah system in a matter of minutes.
Yes, what's the postcode?
Could you do me a pineapple and ham and with more olives than you can possibly imagine?
Yeah, where?
Excellent.
Delivery?
Yes, speak to my friend as well. He will tell you where to deliver to.
Oh, okay.
Pizza two for me. Order, yes. I wish.
Yes, where?
With extra mudada tree and shredded jawa toppings require, I do.
They have abandoned you, my friend.
Not bothered, am I, Obi-Wan? For me, cheese and pickle butty, now you must make.
Very well, our kid.
You've been listening to Dead Ringers. It was performed by John Culshaw, Jan Ravens, Mark Perry, Kevin Connolly, and Matthew Cox. It was written by Tom Jameson and Nev Fountain, John Holmes, Lawrence Howarth, John Culshaw, and Dave Cohen. The music was by John Whitehall. The producer is Bill Dare.